Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The Bible says much about the grace of God, but many are not really aware or informed regarding it. Now, it's not surprising to Bible students that much is heard about God's grace. We rely on and we're the recipients of the benefits of His grace. As Paul wrote in Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 8 and 9, ye are saved by grace. In Romans 3 and verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3 and verse 7, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That we are saved by grace is indisputable. But what is grace? Grace is a favor bestowed that is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved, but received anyway. God has favored man with the way of salvation. Man did not deserve to be saved, and he cannot earn his salvation. But because of what God has done, man can be saved. Now, we're not to think, however, that salvation is by grace alone, because there are several components in God's plan for saving man that are built upon God's grace. It is unfortunate that some have misused the teaching about the grace of God as to eliminate the absolute necessity of obedience to the commands of God. Some speak of grace versus law, as if the two concepts are antagonistic to each other. But what is law? Law is a rule that exists by authority. It consists of commandments and ordinances and judgments and statutes and precepts and regulations, prohibitions and instructions. Law implies authority. In the case of God's law, we are dealing with God's authority. There are several passages that teach that we are free from the law, but we must examine them in context lest we conclude that one does not even have to obey God's law. John 1 and verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. God gave Israel a law through Moses, but that law is not the only law in the Bible. Law existed before Moses ever lived. There are other laws. This passage teaches that we are not saved by the law of Moses, but by the grace and truth that came through Christ. But the truth of Christ includes law. In Romans 3 and verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Friend, this does not negate all law. But that Mosaic law is not the way of salvation from sin is evident. Sin can be defined and known for what it is through the law of Moses. But that law did not provide for forgiveness. But this is far from saying that grace and law are incompatible. Similar teaching is found in Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. This simply means that we're under a different system than the Mosaic system. We're under the system of Christ. It does not teach there is no law to which we are still accountable. The same teaching is found in Galatians 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. There is a wide difference in saying that we are not saved by the law of Moses, and in saying there is no law to which we must respond. In Galatians 5 and verse 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Anyone who would expect to be saved by the law of Moses is not relying, as he should, on the way of salvation by grace through Jesus Christ. But there is law in the grace of Christ. In other words, there is legalism in the system of grace. Legalism is conforming to law. Legalism, conforming to God's law, is to complement God's grace in bringing salvation to man. Let us use this illustration. When a man makes a will and states certain conditions that must be met before the distribution of his estate, the conditions do not render ineffective the grace of the will maker. The existence of his will is a demonstration of his grace toward his heirs. He was not obligated to give them anything, but he offers them something from his estate by his grace. He may well stipulate certain conditions his heirs must meet before they receive what he offers. But the fact that he makes the conditions does not mean the conditions are incompatible, inconsistent, or an infringement upon his graciousness toward them. Rather, the conditions are the means for carrying out his grace. The conditions are laws that must be obeyed. So it is, friend, with the grace of God and his laws and our salvation. Let us see that there is a law in the system of grace. Galatians 6 and verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Why, it's easy to see. There is a law of Christ. This cannot be denied. And we are obligated to obey his law. In Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Now grace refers to what God has done to save man. Faith refers to what man must do to be saved. To further show no incompatibility between grace and works, consider the very next verse. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, God expects works from us. How could we conclude, therefore, that works and grace are antagonistic? In Romans 5 and verse 2, "By whom we also have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand." It is by man's conformity in faith to what God has commanded that we enter into the benefits and the blessings provided by God's grace. When Paul was writing of the promise for all men that was given through Abraham, he wrote, "Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace," Romans 4 and verse 16. Both grace, that's God's part, and faith, that's man's part, are essential. One without the other avails nothing for mankind. Nor can we ever conclude a conflict between faith and law. In Romans 1 and verse 17, "The just shall live by faith." Life with God can be mine and it can be yours through a system that demands faith. But in this very same letter, Paul wrote of the law of faith, Romans 3 and verse 27. Notice the harmony that exists between grace and faith and law. Now we're not saved by the law of works of our own righteousness, Titus 3, 3 through 5, nor by the works of which we can boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, and certainly not by the works of the law of Moses, Romans 3, 20 and verse 27. We cannot earn salvation. But this does not mean there is no law in the plan of salvation, or that salvation is by grace alone. As far as the law of Moses is concerned, Romans 10 and verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now the word "end" refers to a target, a goal, the reason for existence, the purpose involved. It is used in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, explaining that salvation is the end or the goal of our faith. Now such teaching regarding the law of Moses is harmonious with Galatians 3, 23 through 25. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Friend, the law of Moses did not provide forgiveness, Hebrews 7 and verse 19, Hebrews 10 and verse 4. But to reach heaven, we must conform to that which James refers to in James 1 and verse 25, the perfect law of liberty. This is the law of truth, because one is made free by the truth, John 8 and verse 32. Some false teachers try to make much of the teaching that we are delivered from the law. But from what law are we delivered? Are we free from the laws of nature? Are we free from the law of gravity, or heat, or sowing and reaping? Why, to ask the question, everyone would immediately answer, certainly not. Are we delivered from civil law? Well, the answer again is no. Romans 13, 1 Peter chapter 2. Are we delivered from the law governing morality? Why, the grace of God and obedience to His law makes morality a prime obligation upon all mankind. This do-your-own-thing doctrine is contrary to the law of Christ, and His grace is not to be used as a liberty or a license for lasciviousness, Galatians 5 in verse 15 and Jude verse 4. We are not delivered from the royal law, in James 2 and verse 8, or from the law of God, Romans 7 verse 22. But by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, we are made free from the law of sin and death, Romans 8 and verse 2. Now, we're not free from all law. In Romans 8, 1 through 4, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned the sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now there are three laws mentioned in that text. The law of sin and death is defined in Romans 6 and verse 23 and in James 1 and verse 16. You sin, you die. The law of Moses was not capable of delivering us from the law of sin and death, because one could not live perfectly under that law. But there is another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law that is part of the same system of salvation as the grace of God. That law can and does save man from the law of sin and death. It does so because by obedience to that law, man partakes of the grace of God. Where then is grace, if there is law to obey? Friend, grace provided the way of salvation. Grace provided the blood of Christ, by which we are saved, Romans 5 and verse 9. Obedience brings us into that grace, and what we obey is the law of Christ. Indeed, there is legalism, there is law-keeping in the system of grace that cannot be dismissed. Grace teaches us, Titus 2 and verse 11 and 12, it teaches us how and what we must do to be the peculiar people that God wants. We frustrate the grace of God, Galatians 2:11, when we do not obey the law that fits perfectly within the same system of salvation as the grace of God. And this one final thought. If salvation is by grace alone, who made that law? Even then, you do not escape the necessity of law. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.